Well, there's nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes out in the garden early in the morning. Pick you a ripe one, don't pick a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Well, you could go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on the hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, if I was to change this life I lead, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed. But I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard, you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in the cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better, and I could be pushing out homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Stand up, stand up. Thank you to our sponsor today, Justice, for the beginning of song.
Tomato!
Awesome. Well, I was not planning on playing actually anything. I just brought this in so that Tate could give us some intro music, which he did, but thank you. Appreciate that. You in the striped shirt, what's your name?
Acadia.
Acadia. Justice and Acadia. I've like walked into a different universe. These are like not normal names. They're cool. Yeah. Come up and help me out for a second, Acadia. Yeah, and then...
Yeah, this universe we have homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. I want... How old are you?
I'm 21.
You're 21. I love it. And how old are you?
18.
Oh, we got to get one more. This is good age ranges. I want you raise your hand because you suspect you're in an age category that is not yet represented. Is that true?
Yes.
How old are you?
20.
Get up here. All right. Name? Caleb, Acadia, and?
Genesis.
And next is going to be Xavier or something like that. Okay, you guys are awesome. I'm not making fun of your names. Mine's just boring. It's Timothy. I'm going to ask these folks some questions, so just permit me. Oh, whose gift in life is writing quickly but legibly? Who has that gift in life? You. So divide this into three categories, one for each of them, right? I don't care how. So we've got Genesis, Acadia, and Caleb. And just jot like single word notes about what they say. Like not, don't write it out, just, you know, does that make sense?
Caleb like, and Acadia?
Caleb, yep, and Acadia, not Arcadia, Acadia. She's not our Acadia, she's just Acadia, right? She's not the Acadia. So, and tell me your name.
I'm Jade.
Jade. Where's Stephen and Olivia? Normal names. You guys are awesome. I love your names. So what I want you to do is, as I interview them, just jot really simple notes.
Okay.
Like if she says, I am really into ballet, and I like it. I've done it since I was three. You would write down?
Ballet.
That's it.
Ballet.
Got it. Okay. Acadia, you're first. So what's a normal day like for you? Like, broad. You don't have to get into the details. Just, like, generally speaking.
Like, my daily tasks?
Yeah, well, if I were to watch a video of your day, apart from being creepy, what would I kind of, what would I kind of generally see happening?
Usually wake up, start with scripture study and family devotional, then breakfast, start on school, and then after that, usually in the afternoon after school, we work on family businesses and family stuff, and then work out, and then
okay,
family
you don't
dinner.
You don't have to write all that down. You can say, like, normal, just write down family businesses.
And then, I don't know, go to bed.
Okay.
Is that what you were looking for?
That's great. What kind of stuff are you interested in or good at that's kind of, what are those things?
I love to run and play the piano.
Okay. sprints or distance?
Distance, cross country.
Okay. So running, piano. What do your parents do?
Work-wise. My dad does what is it called? He sells merchant services. So like the machines that you go.
Like a vending machine.
Yeah. No, not vending machine. When you go to the store, you put
your card in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of stuff are your parents into?
Running. Oh my goodness! Lots of things. Gardening. You do a lot of gardening.
Okay.
Okay,
that's good enough.
Okay.
All right. Genesis. Same basic questions. Okay. If I were to watch your day, apart from like you eat food and you wake up, okay, but like what would I see?
Well, I usually get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I do my school. I'm usually done before noon.
Homeschool rocks. Done before noon.
It absolutely does. I'll practice the piano at some point. I read about half the day.
One of those. I have a 9-year-old that's of that species.
I love running, and I'm from a family of 9 children, so I've got plenty to do with siblings all day. We have quite a few animals, so I've got animal chores and spend time with the animals.
So
the
running, animals. You're awesome. Thank you. Okay, what kind of stuff are you into? Reading, we got. Running. Anything else that you're like, feel like you've got some extra interest in or gifts in or something? Or are those the main ones?
Those are probably the main ones, but I like to draw a little bit and then I crochet.
Okay. Draw, crochet. Got it. What do your parents do?
My dad is...
What are they into? Professionally or interest-wise?
My dad's a software tester for Washington Federal Bank.
So just software's good?
Yeah. He runs a lot. He's very active. My mom doesn't work.
Your mom has 9 kids.
Yep.
She works.
Well, she doesn't work.
I know. I'm just giving
her time. She
doesn't
get paid, but she works.
Oh, it's like eternal payment, right? Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay, good. What's she into, like, interest-wise?
She likes books, but she doesn't have the time to actually read, so she'll usually listen to books.
Understood.
And she likes to do cross-stitch. She does that a fair amount. And she's very into decor. She likes to do seasonal decor.
Okay.
And
you're one of those people with a large storage room full of swapping out decor items. Have you guys ever stopped to think about how much your moms have given up their life for you since you're homeschooled? I just felt guilty even asking her what her mom's interests are. She has 9 children she's homeschooling. Holy smokes. What's up?
She's the one who homeschooled me and then acts like it's my fault for being homeschooled.
All right. Caleb, what would I see if I kind of watched your day?
Wake up early, get a workout in, do my personal study, and then off to work, whatever that might be, either on the farm or... I have a bunch of other entrepreneur things I'm doing, so.
Okay, farm, entrepreneurship. You can't spell entrepreneurship. I learned how to spell entrepreneurship 3 years ago when I was writing a course about entrepreneurship, and I had like the 75th time I had to try to type it and then use autocorrect to like fix it. I was like, okay, I am a 34-year-old man. I have got to learn how to spell this word. Okay, so businesses. We can do that one. So you live at home.
Yep.
What do your parents do? Farming.
Farming.
What else are they into?
We do a lot of things. Business-wise or just like anything?
You say whatever you think.
Okay. Yeah, we do construction. We have a bunch of other projects we're working on with like mechanics and stuff like that.
Okay, so farming, construction, mechanics. What are you into? Apart from things you've already mentioned. Anything else?
Music. I love to write music and sing. So.
Do you play an instrument?
Piano.
So you write piano, voice accompanied by piano stuff. Various
computer stuff. So.
Oh, you do a digital composition as well.
Yeah.
Are you using the AI stuff?
No.
There's been like an explosion of my friends who are suddenly all composers. And I'm like, what is going on? I've written music since I was 14 on the guitar. And now like 7 people I know are suddenly, and then I'm like, oh, wait. They're inputting a melody line into an AI tool that then is blowing it in. Okay, not fair.
Yeah.
This is an AI-generated image, so, you know, I guess I can't complain, because what I do with art, they do with music. It's fine. Okay, thank you. You're dismissed. Now from all of you, I'll just take a couple. This is a quintessential moment that we all face, right? And this is, of course, a metaphor for what's going on in your life. You're facing a decision point. I want to know what decision points some of you think you're facing right now in any aspect of your life. Okay, wait, what's your name?
Nate.
Nate, that's normal, but the way you raised your hand was not normal. You did this. So that's okay. Okay, huge. That's like a big, real one, right? Okay, I'm done with the normal. Like, the track is running out of just the what is normal to do. Where do I go from here? Is anybody else facing that same, that's on their mind, the thoughts like, what do I do as high school wraps up? Anybody? Same boat? Okay. Let's take a couple more. Yeah.
Just career.
Career stuff. Tell me just a little bit about how that's sitting on your brain.
Lifetime to it and actually put my mind to only solely one thing.
Okay. Did you guys hear that? Could everybody hear her?
Yeah.
There are a lot of career options out there. I don't know if I want to dedicate, there are a lot of them are interesting. I don't know if I want to dedicate my whole life to one thing and like go all the way down that path and turn off all the other paths. By the end of this, you'll understand why I'm now saying, I promise you I did not pay her to say that. I've never met you before. What's your name? What is it?
Emma.
We'll discover what's not normal about you. Your name passes, but you know, there's got to be something in there. Thank you, Emma. Okay, one more. Life decision moment, things you think you're facing. Could be big, could be small, doesn't matter. Oh, no, I'm going to call on somebody else. You got a whole serenade. Yeah.
I guess if you're seeing this, like, who I'm going to date and if I'm going to date people this long.
If to date and who to date.
Yeah.
How old are you? 15. Great. Anybody else thinking about decisions related to people you could potentially or are already attracted to? If you're not raising your hand, there's a 90% chance you're a liar. Okay. He's like, I'm in. I'm all in, man. Right there. I am standing here, and she's there, and she's there, and she's there, and I'm going, which path? Right, yeah. It's tough. I know. Okay, so my hope today, you don't even know who I am. I'm not even going to introduce myself. It's fine. I'm just some random guy who comes into your life for 45 minutes and then I'm gone. So you don't care about my background and it doesn't matter that much. So my hope today, the reason I'm sharing what I'm sharing today is because I work with young people from 12 on up to 27 every day in my job. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. And I have this conversation with people of that entire age range over and over and over again where they're talking to me about these moments. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they're hoping that I have some wisdom to give them. But what I hear a lot is that they're approaching the problem in a way that doesn't make sense to me. And that's okay. I approached the problem in that same way all growing up. But now that I'm older, I've learned a few things about how to approach this moment when you've got a decision to make. And I want to have the conversation with you all right now that I've had with individuals of them lots of times. So let's jump into this. What stuff gets you down when you're trying to make a decision? Trying to choose between two or multiple things. Could be, you know, beautiful people in your life that all want your attention and you just can't decide where to give it. It's tough, I know. Could be college or religious service or military. Could be, do I date? Who would I date? How do I go about dating? How do I feel about all of that? It could be, how old are you? Emma, you're 17. Okay, so the career thing is becoming relevant quickly because what you're doing right now is going to lead to what you do in college or if you don't go to college or if you do what you do or if you don't what you do, and that's really relevant. Okay, common problems with that is you tend to feel a lot around this. What do you feel when you're thinking about
and mulling about these sorts of situations. What do you feel? And what do you think? What's difficult about that?
There's so many expectations from other people that sometimes you feel judged for the choice you
made. Okay, so there's expectations from, I'm saying it again because this thing's recording me. So there's expectations that others have, and you don't want to disappoint people, and you don't want to feel judged, and you're worried about...
Mostly judged.
You might make a decision and somebody else is going to question that or think badly of you. Okay, what else makes it difficult and burdensome to be at this point that this AI-generated young backpack boy is at? You mentioned one, Emma, earlier that I want to harp back to. There's just so many options, and I don't want to get it wrong because I make this choice and then I'm down that path. And what if it wasn't the right choice? That could be relevant to career. It could be relevant to military versus mission versus college, right? Could be relevant to do I date and who do I date, right? Maybe I go down the path and it's not right. Okay. Can I click this thing? Anybody know who that is? You. Who is it?
Is that Grant?
It is Grant. Ulysses S. Grant. You guys know who he was? You're cooler than I was. I never really knew anything about Ulysses S. Grant until I read a biography of him 2 years ago. Now he's like my favorite U.S. president. So he became the general of the Northern forces during the Civil War. North versus South, right? He led us to victory. Before he was the general, there were like four other generals that all failed. So I want to tell you a bit, just very briefly about his life path. Are you ready? I want you to try to imagine him in these moments. Try to picture what these moments were in his life. Are you ready? Grew up in a very normal, kind of average family in a little backwoods town. He wasn't really great at anything except horses. He was a really good horse rider. He's really good with horses. He went to college at West Point Military Academy. The only reason is because it was an option in front of him because his dad knew a state congressman, and you had to have a letter from a congressman to get into West Point. And they happened to know a guy. And his dad was like, well, I could get you into West Point. And he's like, all right. So he went to West Point, and he did pretty poorly. He was, like, low in his class at West Point. He got into trouble a decent amount. He was really good at riding horses, but just kind of did the West Point thing. Graduated, went out to the Mexican-American War. He was in charge of supply chain. Not exactly glorious. Like, how to get the food trucks. They weren't trucks. Civil War. Food carts. And re-ammunition carts and stores and tents to the right place at the right time. They're supply lines. That's what he was in charge of. Boring job. It's just kind of what fell into his lap, and he was kind of good at it. So he did it, and they like kind of promoted him because he was just really kind of good at the logistics of making sure supplies got where they needed to be. Got some really good experience in that, but didn't make a name for himself in any way. The war ended, and he goes, and he tries a bunch of different careers. He tries to farm. Complete failure. He just bums out of farming. He needed Caleb in his life. He tries some businesses. He makes some investments. He gets swindled. He's a sucker. Like, people pitch like a really cool idea to him, and then all the money disappears, right? He's just a failure. He's married. It's not going well because he's a failure. The Civil War breaks out, and he says, well, I'm going to sign up. I guess, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. I was trained, and a bunch of his buddies that he knew in the Mexican-American War are now like big generals, and he's just kind of nobody. But he was a vet from the last war, so he goes, and he's going to lead his little town's group. From there, he takes on some risky missions, and he's really good with supply lines. He'd learned that in the Mexican-American War. And winning a war is way more about supply lines than most anything else. Because if you plunge into the enemy and get surrounded and you can't get any food from your supporters, you're toast, right? So he works his way up, and as some of the other generals get fired, pretty soon he's made general. Look how he's dressed. Can you see the guys behind him? Not really well. They're dressed the same. The whole time he was the general, the highest-ranking military official in the United States military, he dressed like his men. He was a normal dude. He didn't give speeches. He wasn't cocky. He didn't have anything out of the ordinary. He just, like, talked kind of like this. He'd go hang out with the men because he was just a normal guy. He just happened to end up there. Well, he wins the war. And then he becomes president. He never ran for president. Back then, you didn't run for president. They nominated you in convention, and it was ungentlemanly to put your own name forward. Things have changed. He was made president, and he oversaw Reconstruction, the reunification of a divided country. Okay, amazing story. Did he know what his life mission was? Did he ever have a clue where he was going? At every juncture, this is his life. This is when he's like in diapers or something. And then, you know, do I ride horses or herd goats? Or I don't know, whatever. You know, each one of these is a juncture point, a junction point where he has to make a decision. And at each one of these points, what does he choose to do? Just whatever kind of makes sense at the moment. So you're trying to choose a career. You don't have 50 options in front of you. You might think you do. You could look at a list of careers and be like, oh my goodness, or a list of majors at a college. How many of you have Googled a list of the majors offered at a college? Raise your hand. And you've read down the list. And you're like, biomedical engineering? What is biomedical engineering? Dietetic psychiatry? I just found out that's a thing. Dietetic psychiatry. How do you fix mental problems by your diet? That's a thing. And you're looking down the list going like, oh my goodness, how do I choose? But those aren't really your options. You have many fewer options than that, which most adults are like, you can be anything you want to be in this world. And that's true in terms of your capacity. It's true in terms of your ability to act and make things happen. But it's not true in that there are thousands of careers out there you don't even know exist. So how could you choose them, right? Look at all the things at the top. Now I want you to imagine, have you guys been on Google Earth before, Google Maps? Have you ever dropped the little person down under the road view and it's like, when you're looking at the road view? Imagine you're not looking from the top of these paths like this, but you're down on the path. Ready? You're standing here. What can you see? You can see to there, right? Because it curves. And you can see to there. That's all you can see. That's all you think exists. So the options you think you're choosing from are not actually destination options. Is that making sense to you? The three boys that are in your life that you're like, do I date one of them? Am I committing forever? No, those are not the only three options, right? But you don't know what the other options are because you can't see that far. So if I'm here and I don't even know this is a possibility, I think there are only two paths. Got me? Are you following me? I don't know this path exists yet. How would I find out that path exists? What's that?
Take the path.
Which path? I mean, so I would choose this path because I guess kind of makes more sense than this path, I guess, kind of, sort of. So I start walking down it, and now I've walked. I'm not here anymore. I'm now here. What can I see? I can actually see two split-offs and a straight. Two split-offs that I didn't know existed before. But I would never have even known those were options had I not chosen to move. And if there's one thing I hope you'll learn today, it's that whatever options are in front of you, there are some that are in front of you and most of them aren't. Choose and start walking. And that's when all the others will appear. Okay, we're done. I think that's my whole message. No, I'll give you more. But that's really it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you always say that, you know, you choose a path and you can't return, you know, you can't come back.
False.
Yeah, you can always turn around and
yep.
Go another way.
Totally. If you believe in something called repentance, that means you can walk back to where you made a mistake and make a change. That's like a dramatic moral version of it. But you can also just be like, I'm dating this person. Ooh, not good. Back up. Make a different decision, right?
Okay.
What's that?
It might slow you down a little bit, but it'll work.
And you know what? It doesn't, though. It doesn't slow you down because you have more information now than you had before. You learned something new that you didn't know before. And so the you that's making the decision next time is a different you. It's a more advanced you. In the moment of making a decision, though, here, okay, let's jump to a different one. You're here. What can you see? I can see to there, and I guess maybe there, right? In that moment, how many of you have seen Lord of the Rings or read it? Gandalf, Mines of Moria. He's sitting there. There's three passageways. He's like, I have no memory of this place. And then they sit there forever, and he like says some inspirational stuff to Frodo. All you have to do, Frodo Baggins, is what to do with the life that's given you, or whatever. And then he goes, oh, it's that way. And like, oh, he's remembered. And he says,
smells better over there.
Say that again.
Smells better.
Yeah, the air is less foul down that passage. When in doubt, Peregrine took, always follow your nose, right? The point is, Gandalf actually does not know which way to go. He does not know which path is going to lead out, but this one smells a little less worser than the other two paths, That's how many of your decisions in life are. Military, mission, college. You can't see the end. You don't know what's going to happen. You've just got to sniff. With all of your experience, listening to maybe some counsel from people you trust, you know, praying, whatever, however you make that decision, and you go, well, I'm not sure, but I have to commit. Okay, let me say that again. I'm not sure, but I have to commit. That's maturity, is being able to recognize that you don't know everything, but you have to make a decision and own that decision and walk forward. And here's the other big lie that happens. You're getting restless, so I'm going to stand up taller. The other big lie that comes into your brain when you got to make one of these decisions is that this one's forever. You said it. I told her, I didn't pay her, but she's like, I don't want to commit my whole life to this thing and then find out it was the wrong thing. But that's the lie that comes into your brain. This decision's forever. Now, some are. If you get married, stick with it, right? Like, you can't be like, oh, man, yeah, I'm going to back out of that one 2 months later. I just, you know, she's smelly or, you know, whatever it is. So there are commitments you need to make and keep. But most decisions in life, career choices, I'll tell you a bit about my story. That's been one of these, right? A major, you can change a major. It's okay. Don't sit undeclared in your major at college for 2 years. Pick whatever one seems like the least foul-smelling pathway and start walking down it, because you'll take a class in that. That'll get you to take a class that's not generals, and you'll learn something. So, all right, fine. Let's go. You guys know this poem?
Yes.
Anybody ever memorized it? Okay, so I'm going to just tell you this poem. I'm going to turn it off, though. If I have you reading it, then you don't listen. And if you're listening, you don't read. It's just like they block each other out. Here you go. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing them there had warned them really about the same. You hear Gandalf? They all kind of about the same, right? And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Okay, so this is a famous poem, and I want to go focus on, that's the one. These two lines. I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. About 80% or more, I just made up that statistic, but I just mean a lot. A lot of the youth and young adults I talk to all the time are standing forever looking down one as far as they can to where it bends in the undergrowth, going, I don't know. Is it the right one? I don't know. And I don't mean to make fun of them. They're great people. But if you could zoom out and look, you would see it is a bit of a silly thing to stand there forever. You got to move down the path to find out what's down there. So you got to move. You got to walk. You think maybe you're into art? Well, go do art. You think maybe you should say yes to that date that boy got up the heroic courage to ask you on? By the way, girls, unless you have a reason to say no, you should say yes the first time. If he asks you again, if you have a strong reason to say no, say no. If not, if you're like, no, it was fun, we had a really good time, say yes a second time. Age appropriate, talk to your parents, whatever. If you're not excited about him as a like romantic prospect and he asks you a third time, this is like for older, right? Do not say yes, okay? I had a young lady keep saying yes to me for 7 months. I was sure I wanted to marry this girl. And I kept asking, and she kept saying yes because she was just too sweet to say no. She didn't like me. That was 7 months. That was a long time. She is a wonderful young woman. She just couldn't say no. She didn't want to be mean. So But say yes the first time, unless he's a weirdo or a creep or something. Like, and be serious. Like, he's got to really be a weirdo or a creep. Like, asking out a girl is the hardest thing I have ever done. Second hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Okay? So, be nice. So you stand there looking down one as far as you can to where it bends in the undergrowth. Here's another one I love. Way leads on to way. Can you see that with the image here? How way leads on to way? You think you're taking this way. Okay, I said no to the right half of the screen. I went left. And then I went this way. Oh, that's led me back to the right. Oh, and then I came down this one. And then I worked my way over here. And then up that one. Because you didn't even think you could go down and up. You sure can. Right? Anywhere they intersect. So way leads on to way. All right. How much time do we have left? We start at 3. We got 15 minutes. Okay, cool. I want to come back to, okay, George Washington Carver. You guys have heard of him?
Yes.
Born as a slave. Mom was taken away from him. He wasn't healthy enough to work, so he just, like, took care of plants. He didn't know where he was going in life. He just made the decision that was in front of him. Do I not play with that plant and try to help it, or do I play with the plant and try to help it? I'll play with the plant and try to help it, okay? And then he runs away, and like, situation after situation, he didn't know what was coming. He just acted with what was in front of him. He actually finally got into college as a black student, which was unheard of, and he studied art and music. And then a professor told him, don't do art. It's not going to be good. And he convinced him to go into botany, plants, because he would draw plant drawings all the time. Oh, okay, botany, sounds cool, I'll do that. And he went into botany and became the world famous guy who invented like peanut butter and everything else that's done with peanuts. Now we know that. We're like, oh, he was born to invent the peanut. But he didn't know that. Grace Aylward, anybody read about Grace Aylward? Missionary in China? She just made, at each juncture, just made the decision that felt right to her and moved down that path, and it way led on to way and led her there. Okay, this is where I'm at right now in my life. I'm the campus director at the Bellom Center for Artful Living campus in Missouri. It's a 160-acre campus that I'm helping develop. I work with youth and young adults all the time. I never planned to be here. If you had even told me 5 years ago I'd be doing this, I would have had no clue what you were talking about. This, where I, what I'm doing now, I'm not tall enough, is like one of those branches way up there, and I was here. I didn't even know it existed. It's not a job you can apply for. I didn't even know it was a possibility, but here I am. So I'm doing this all day. I'm helping young people folk dance on this beautiful property and work and learn all sorts of cool stuff. And it's my dream job. Like, it makes use of everything I am. But how many times was I your age and your age and your age and your age and your age, and I was thinking, like, what do I want to be? Oh, what path do I take? I just did what made sense at the moment with the gifts I had and the options that were in front of me, and they led on from way to way until I ended up here. Okay, I want to come back to my strangely named people from the beginning. Stand up really quick. You're not weird. Caleb's normal. Okay, Genesis and... Hold on. She's not the or and. She's a...
Caleb.
Acadia. Okay, so help me out here. Without reading the name, read the characteristics in one of those sections, but don't tell us whose it is.
Workout, farm, business, construction.
Workout, farm, entrepreneurship, business, construction. Okay, so we're describing Genesis over here. She's got these few choices in front of her. Do I follow up the construction thing a lot? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Am I... maybe the entrepreneurship thing. That's really... No, she's not considering that option because it's not her, is it? So you don't have to be worried about those options. Sometimes we feel like there's so many options out there, we don't want to choose the wrong one. But he's the one who has those in front of him. So you're going to choose where to put your time. And it's in a limited number of things. Guess what? I can tell you all who you're going to marry.
What?
You want me to tell you? And if any of you would like to know who you're going to marry, raise your hand and I will tell you.
I'm scared.
What's your name?
Kyla.
Kyla. Would you all like to know who Kyla is going to marry?
Yeah.
Please, she says. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a fine. You're going to marry who you date.
No way.
So when I said, I'm going to tell you who you're going to marry, you're thinking, quick calculation, 8 billion people, half of them are male, 4 billion people, half of those are married, 2 billion people, half of those are old. Well, she's got 1 billion options. She doesn't. She has like 2 to 4. Because she's probably going to date like between 1 and 4 people at all seriously in her life. 4 is a lot to date seriously. It takes a long time to date somebody seriously sometimes. So she's going to date 1 to 4 people seriously in her life. And she's going to marry one of those. So you don't have a bazillion options. You have like 1 to 4. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So you've got a life. You can sit down. We dealt with you. Go ahead. Let's read hers.
Family business, run piano.
Family gardening. Businesses, running, piano, gardening. Have you ever thought about being a doctor? No? Not on your horizon? So you can take that off your existential worry list of like, maybe I was born to be a doctor. Like, just cross it off. It's okay. Maybe you were. And guess what? If you really were, if God wants you to be a doctor, then way will lead on to way. And you don't need to worry about it. But the options that are in front of you are piano, running, gardening, selling electronics to people who run credit cards. But, okay, go ahead and sit down. But that's important, what your dad does. Why did I ask you what your dads do? How many of you know what Brahms' dad did? Johannes Brahms, famous music guy? Mozart, Tchaikovsky, all of them, guess what they all have in common? Their parents were excellent auto mechanics. No, I'm just joking. Their parents were excellent musicians. So guess what? That was just the option. Mozart wasn't being there and be like, I think I'm supposed to be a doctor. And if he was, then God will get him there. You can trust God. He's good. He'll get you where you need to be. But Mozart grew up with music surrounding him. So he was ahead. He had that gift. He had that start. And so he followed what was in front of him and became Mozart. Who has no music thing going on in their life? You're like, not a music thing. Okay, you don't have to sit there and stress about, like, maybe I was supposed to be the next Mozart. If you were, you'll be led down that path if you just keep walking whatever paths are in front of you, right? Gandalf, standing at that 3-splitting passageway, he doesn't have to pick between all the passageways in Moria. He has to pick between 3. So if you just narrow down to what's in front of me. Now, stay up. Don't get to sit down yet.
Don't sit down, not then look at the mission
anymore. Some of you might be like, but wait, what if the thing I'm really supposed to do isn't something that my family does? Grace Aylward didn't have anybody, like her parents weren't missionaries. She felt called to go serve as a missionary in China in like the 1930s. Her story is out of this world incredible. But she actually knew somebody whose brother, I think, if I remember right, was a missionary somewhere, and she thought that was cool. And that sat in her brain. And then when she was at a Christian meeting, they were talking about missionaries, she went, I think I'm going to do that. And it became an option in front of her. Do you see what I mean? Like it cropped up in her life. Okay, you. Let's read hers really quick.
Piano, reader, running, animals, art, crochet, software, and decor.
So, and these are just decisions in terms of like where you want to spend your time developing talents and things like that. There's other aspects of your life. But those are your options. You don't have to worry about a bazillion. When you see the list come up of majors and careers, and you see like veterinary surgery. Wait, you do have animals?
I don't really have to worry about that because I'm
going to
be a mom.
Great. But even in the interests you pursue, right? And this could be any decision. Like that decision of like, okay, so what do I do to prepare to be a mom? Where do I put my time? Who do I date? Because you can't be a mom unless you have a partner in life, right? So who are you going to date? How are you going to date? What kind of dating are you going to do? Those are the questions that are before you. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Let's do this really quick. Here are a bunch of things that happened in my life that represent juncture points where I had to make a decision and ended up leading to where I am today. Okay? So all of these in some way were one of those branching points in a path where I couldn't see very far and I had to make a choice from what was in front of me. So I don't have time to talk about all of these, so let's maybe have some of you who haven't spoken yet, pick one, and I'll talk about that one for a minute and tell you what was going on. Who was that?
CIA.
Okay, the CIA. I went and did a master's degree in linguistics. Okay, and I learned Mandarin. I already knew Spanish. I learned Mandarin, Chinese, and I was going to join the CIA. I met a recruiter. I started talking to him. I felt kind of weird because normal people don't do that, and I'm a normal person. And I worked with him over the course of a year. I got through the most difficult parts of the process to join the CIA. So from 13,000 applicants in my pool, I'd gotten down to like 10 of us. That we're going to, you know, one from the 10 of us was going to be chosen to join. My next step was to fly to Washington, D.C. and get a, what do they call them? My mind just went blank. Where they see if you're lying.
Polygraph.
Yeah. That's a big word. I was going to get a polygraph test where they like needle you and poke you like with questions and make you feel guilty about everything in your life to see if you'll lie. I had a friend who went through that. He was also trying to get into the CIA, and he broke down under it. He couldn't take it, and he failed out at that point. So that was my next step, and then the government shut down, and they stopped processing background checks. And they told me, it'll be a year. We'll talk to you in a year. And I was like, I have two kids. I have to have a job. So I had to make a decision. What do I do? I went back to teaching, which is what I'd done before. I chose not to go into the CIA. That was a huge decision point in my life. And I could tell you a lot more about making that decision, but I had to make a choice. And I chose not to pursue the CIA thing anymore, but to pursue education. That's one juncture point that has been a way leading on to way. Where are we? CIA? That was one moment. If I had made a different decision in that moment, maybe I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else. You know what's interesting about that? I prayed a lot. If for those of you who are praying people, I prayed a lot about that decision. And what I learned from God was he had given me both options. And he loved me. And my final answer from him was, you've been praying for both of these things, both the options in different ways, and I love you. So I gave them to you. He didn't tell me what to do. But I chose. And now with what I've seen grow in my life, I'm so grateful I made the choice I made. Okay, that's CIA. I just had to do the best I could at the moment. I didn't know that was going to lead me to here, campus director job that I love. Let's do one or two more.
Actor.
Who's that? Is that you?
Yeah.
I said actor. Okay, how many of you are under 19? Okay, when I was all of your age, I was sure I was going to be an actor. I did theater from the time I was 5. I did theater in high school. I started majoring in theater at college. I went and worked at a professional theater after my first semester of college. And guess what I learned by being a professional actor for a season? That I didn't want to be an actor. So I made the decision to turn. So was that wasted time?
No.
Do you know how much of the skills and self that I developed through acting I use now? Have any of you sat here and thought, wow, he's not nervous to be up there in front of us?
Yep.
Do you know why? Because I acted my whole life growing up. It's a part of who I am. Way leads on to way. It's not wasted. If you walk down a path and then change, it's not, nothing is wasted. Okay? Nothing is wasted. It's used in experience or in gaining skills. Let's do one more. You right here.
China.
China. Here I am. I've applied for the CIA. I'm in my master's degree. And one of my professors goes, you should apply for this research grant. And I was like, I don't even have my research project yet. He's like, yeah, make one up and submit it. What you think you'll do. See how he's pushing me to make a choice, walk down a path around a corner I can't see. So I quickly scrambled together a research proposal for my thesis, submitted it, and was awarded $15,000 to do the research. So then I was like, oh, wow. And the research I proposed was going to China to do linguistic research about people trying to learn Chinese. Here I am with $15,000. I guess it's time to go to China. Little did I know then that later in my life, I'd apply for a job where they needed someone who spoke and had experience in country in Chinese and Spanish, which are the exact two things. How many people in the world do you think have the linguistic skills and in-country experience in both Chinese and Spanish? Probably not very many. That was the exact job I needed to have at that time. And that other path that I just chose prepared me and led me there. All right. So my invitation to you is really simple. if you're the kind of person that follows up on things you rashly commit to do in a conference session, if you'll actually follow through with this, that's fine. Many of you won't feel impelled to, and I guess that's okay too. If you're feeling the weight of decisions of some point, of some aspect in your life, where you're here, I want you to, on a piece of paper, right now or later, write down what the realistic options in front of you are. What are the realistic options in front of you? And then ignore all the others and choose one of those paths to start walking down. And then start walking. You have to do things. You got to start moving. It doesn't matter if you want to be an entrepreneur. Okay, so go mow a lawn or whatever. As you walk, you'll be like, I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. Nothing will work out. Well, you can't see around the corner. Start walking and you'll see new pathways. You'll see things you didn't see before, but you're stuck while you're standing still. So pick the one that smells less foul and start walking. Thanks for coming. You guys are awesome.